It is always good to be here. I so appreciate your pastors just giving me the invitation. I have several people that love to minister the word in my church, Westchester Family Church, and today was going to be my wife. And I was actually delayed getting here this morning, and my apologies, but our church had to cancel because Con Ed decided that they needed to do work today. So we had no power in the building, and that's just not a good situation to not have power in your building and have people come in. So, but they greet you, Westchester Family Church, and we're so glad that we have friends of like precious faith in your pastor and your pastor's wife. Your leaders are wonderful, and I often tell Pastor Jay that I believe this church is a very mature church because you've been taught the word extremely well. And when you come to minister as a minister, it is easy to bring the word to you because you're so well taught. And so it's a privilege, it's an honor. And I'm excited about the message that I want to bring to you today. And let's go before the Father in prayer as we approach the word. Father, we thank you for our time in the Word today. Lord, we know that it is through your Word, God, that we can have our heart changed, our mind renewed. Father, that by your Holy Spirit, you can lead us and guide us into all truth. Father, I thank you for giving us listening ears, Father, to hear what you're saying to us in these days. God, that we would step out and act on the word that we hear. We wouldn't just hear it, but God, we would put it into action in our lives. And Lord, we will point all the glory to you as you bring fruitfulness and results for the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about come up. Come up. Now, I have some friends on my leadership team who are from Jamaica, and they use the word come up since. Now, I had never heard that word before, but come up since actually means to come up to a maturity level. In other words, to get a grip on yourself and to come up to a different place. And these last several months, I have been meditating on a particular scripture that has challenged me. This marks my 40th year in the ministry, and it is really challenging me to go deeper, to go higher, and to come up, and to have my mindset be changed, to not just be the status quo, to not just stay the same, but to be pushed into becoming more and more like Jesus. To be pushed into that relationship to go deeper, not to settle on things that I see in the rearview mirror of my life, of my ministry. And I challenge this congregation to don't just look in the rearview mirror. If you drive your car down the street and you're just looking in the rearview mirror, what's going to happen? Yeah, you're not going to get very far. What's going to happen is if you're just looking at your life, your Christian life, your walk with God in the rearview mirror, you are going to hit a tree or somebody else. And so what I believe God's calling us to is to elevate our mindset and begin to get that heavenly perspective. For our home is not here. The Apostle Paul says our citizenship is in heaven from whence we eagerly await our Savior. So our citizenship is in heaven. And with that mindset, it is a different kind of mindset. It's not just the same old, same old. And if you've walked with God in any length of time, I'm sure that you have probably had moments in your Christian life where you felt dry, you felt stale, or you felt maybe that God was distant. I got news for you. If that's you today, God has not moved. We start looking on the inside first. Where is our heart? What is God calling us to? And so if you'll go to the first slide, please, gentlemen. Revelation 4:1 tells us, and I'll read this out of the New King James. It says, "After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, 'Come up here, and I'll show you things which must take place after this.'" Now, this is specific to John, but I believe there's application for us, and I don't think I'm doing injustice to this, because Jesus himself also told us to come and follow him and to lay down our lives. And I hear a lot of preaching about grace, and I love grace. Grace is great. And that's not what I'm teaching on today, but I want to tell you that with that said, I think sometimes we forget that in order to come up to a higher level, we might need to shed off some things, get rid of some things in order to lighten our load, to go up to that higher level. And so when I read this verse, I said, oh, okay, Lord, you're calling us to come up to a place where we can see things in a different way, that we can see things from a different heavenly mindset or a heavenly perspective. And then let's go on over to John chapter 14. This is kind of where we'll be mostly hanging out today. In John chapter 14, Jesus said to us, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it." That verse challenges me. Why does it challenge me? Because I ask myself the question, and maybe you can ask yourself the question, are you a believer? We got a believer, believers in here? Wave your hand at me. Believers in here? All right. If you're a believer, it says, he who believes in me, the works that Jesus did, you can do also. Wow. That's a tall order. That is a tall order. And if we're not careful, we'll let religion talk us out of the reality of this. Religion will say, yeah, that's just Jesus. That's not us. That's him, you know, because he's the Son of God. Well, although that is true, what did he say to us? He said, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you'll do. Now, it doesn't stop there. He blows our mind and says, and greater works than these. Now, some have argued, well, that means you preach to several hundred, you know, and Jesus preached to the thousands, but now we can exponentially multiply that through technology and through TV and radio, and so that's the greater works. I think that kind of undercuts this. I think that what God is really trying to get us to do is to come up. Everybody say, come up. It is a standing invitation, if you will. It's an invitation to come up to a higher level. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says something to us. It's not Pastor Doug's words, but Jesus. And Jesus says something to us that is pretty profound. In Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to pick up in verse 28. Verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is a divine invitation to come up to a different level in God. The first point that I want to make to you today is that he's calling us to come up in our relationship with him. He's calling us to come up in our relationship with him. Our relationship should be growing. Any healthy relationship is a relationship that grows. You begin to learn one another. I have been married to my wife for 35 years. And, you know, there are some discussions that are 35-year things. And if you're married in this room, you know what I'm talking about. But at the same time, there is something about spending that kind of time with somebody that you've grown. You're not the same person you were when you were 25 as you are when you're 60. You're not the same person. You've grown. You've experienced some things together. You have learned some things. You have had some triumphs. You've had some trials. And there is this strength that comes in a relationship like that. God's calling us in our personal walk with him to go higher, to come up into a different place. And so regardless of whether you have been a Christian for 10 years, 10 days, or 10 minutes, God's calling you to come up. He's calling you to come up because maturity in God is never about time on a clock. Well, I've been a Christian for, 35 years. Well, for me, I've been a Christian for over almost 45 years. And during that time, there have been times where I have not grown. There have been times where I've been stagnant. There have been times where I was neglecting my relationship with God. And during those seasons of my life, that's when I felt like God was a million miles away. But he didn't move. It was me. Say, it was me. When we get to that point to understand that coming up to a different level, we live in a day and age where the world is screaming out, crying out for people to be authentic, to be real. The younger generation right now, and I'm kind of refreshed by it, they don't want religion. They want the real deal. They want people who are not just one thing when the microphones and lights are on and another thing when they're not. Amen. They want people who are authentic in their walk with God. When you are authentic in your walk with God, then you understand some things about coming up to that higher level. Jesus sometimes has pulled me up. If I'm honest, it certainly wasn't my own effort. He was just, hey, I love you, son. Come on up here. Come on up here. And stretches you and causes you to experience sometimes uncomfortable moments where our reliance has to be totally on him. Now, just this last week, we had an opportunity to go into to another state, and I wanted to visit a particular church because I had heard so much about how large this church was. So I happened to be nearby doing something with my daughter for her 16th birthday and my wife, and we were having a great little family vacay, right? And so I was by myself. I dropped my daughter off to see one of her friends. My wife was back at the hotel, and she was getting ready for the day. And between me and the hotel was this mammoth church that I just had to go see. I've never seen a church that big in my entire life. At one point, this church was one of the largest in the United States evangelical churches. And so I drove in onto the property, and I went, this is like driving onto a mall. It's crazy. I didn't know which door to enter. It was a Tuesday morning. And there were probably 250, 300 cars out front. And multiple auditoriums. And I finally found my way in. I felt like I needed Mickey Mouse to like point, you know, what direction to go in. I finally found my way in. I get in. I find their coffee shop, which was much nicer than $6. I mean, Starbucks. And the lady, the barista behind the counter, I said, I'm a pastor. I'm just admiring this building. Is there anyone who could give me a tour? And she says, well, I'd be happy to. You're the barista. She got from behind her barista services and turned it over to somebody else. She grabbed some master keys and she started giving me a tour. And I thought that was lovely. I thought that's wonderful. Just all about the kingdom and just serving and connecting with people. And then on my way out, there was a young man, couldn't have been more than 17, 18 years old. He was at the front desk. He was the checker, making sure that people are coming in the right way. And this is a weekday, mind you. And he's a freshly graduated high school student. I began to engage in conversation with him, and he said, well, did you see the youth auditorium? I said, no, they didn't show me that. He says, well, let me show it to you. So then he grabs his keys, and he shows it to me. And as we start talking, and I said, well, now, how did you end up here? And he said, well, he said, I received Christ in my life as a teenager, younger teenager. And he said, and my mom, she works here, and she got me this job before I go off to college. So as a typical, you know, person, I'm always liking to engage somebody. My kids say I don't know any stranger. So I asked the young man, I said, so what are you going to study? He said, I have no idea. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. I said, well, what are you good at? So he started talking to me. And the more we talked, I realized this man he was longing for somebody to help him connect with the plan of God for his life. He was longing for it. He knew that he was created for a greater purpose. His name was Daniel, and I began to engage in the conversation. My wife's starting to text me, where are you? Where are you? You know, one of those 35-year things, right? Where are you? It looks like you're in the middle of nowhere right now on the map because we share our location. And so I quickly texted her back. I said, it's a God moment. It's a God moment. Are you sensitive in your relationship with God, that when those God moments come, that you stop? We say we want to reach the world, but it's in the everyday conversations. It's in the everyday. It's not just here in the auditorium. It's not just here. It's at home. When your children hear you say, I'm sorry, I blew it. It's when people see the authenticity. I began to share with this young man just about the Holy Spirit because he was hungry for the things of God. He was like, well, I've never really heard God. And I was like, well, he wants to talk to you. He looked at me like I fell out of a tree. I said, no, he has a relationship with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. And I began to show him a couple verses, shared a couple of things with him, and then I just prayed for him. At the end, he has tears in his eyes. This is like Mr. Semi-popular jock athlete. He's got tears in his eyes. He's six inches taller than I am, but that's not hard. He says, I shook his hand after I prayed for him. He says, can I hug you? I go, sure. Hugs me, you know, and then we go on our way. So he wanted my number, so I gave him my number, texted. I said, here are some of the resources and some of the things we talked about. Here's some Bible verses for you to look up and read on your own. He said, thank you. I will never forget the time that we spent. Now, I don't say that to puff me up. I say that to challenge you. Are you ready to come up higher? Listen for those still, small moments. They might even delay you from doing something else. They might even inconvenience you. You might have to step out of your comfort zone and step into another place. And what's that going to require? That's going to require forgetting about your problems, forgetting about the mountain that is staring you in the face, because every one of us is believing God, trusting, maybe in the fight of faith in some arena of our lives. It's not all a bed of roses, right? But instead of just focusing on that, I like what Rose said, let's put our eyes on Jesus. The Apostle Paul told us to do that. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, Hebrews, the author and the finisher of our faith. So we fix our eyes. What is that? That's relationship. That's walking with our Heavenly Father on a daily basis. That's wanting to be with Him. My wife has been walking every single day for almost the last, I want to say, 6 years, rain or shine. She has to walk outside. That's her thing. And even if it's just a real quick, I got to walk outside, it counts. We've been driving home and it's almost midnight. She stops me and she says, stop, I haven't walked yet. Okay, stop at the gas station, walk around the gas pumps. But the consistency of that. And early on when she started doing this, I'm not much of a walker. And I'm not like, you know, Mr. Workout guy. You know, I like comfort. Full disclosure. I didn't get this body, you know, by going to the gym all the time. So, I've gotten to the point, though, that I started walking with her. And now she waits for me. And I text her sometime and say, have you walked yet? That's anticipation. Because I want to spend time with her and find out how her day went. I want to hear what's on her heart. Would it be that we would be like that with God? God, I want to hear what's on your heart. God, I want to hear when you whisper my name. I don't want to have to hear when you shout my name. I want my ears so tuned that if you say, Doug, yes, sir. I came from the South, so that's how we answer. Yes, sir. That's how we answer. And early on in my Christian walk, that was my prayer. And recently, I've picked that back up. Lord, I want to hear your voice. Even in the midst of a crowded place. If I'm in Grand Central Station, if I'm at JFK or Albany International with thousands of people and the noise, I want to hear you say my name. Because that's relationship. Come up to the higher level in God. He said, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Well, what is a yoke? Well, we don't use that in our everyday language, but it is an agricultural instrument. Most of us probably, if we've been around church, we've heard of that. If you've ever seen some of these antique shops, you'll see a yoke, and it is for oxen to put two oxen together, or two animals, beasts of burden, work animals, even horses, and you put them together so they can work together. Do you know God is wanting to work with you? He's inviting you to do his works. Go back to that verse in John chapter 14. What does he say? He who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also. Have you ever thought about those works and what they are? Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. I am challenged by this verse because somewhere along the line, religion has stifled us and convinced us that the power is not available to everybody. The power is not available to, the Sunday school teacher, the youth leader, the businessman, the plumber, the electrician, the executive. Somehow, we have taken the power out because we say, oh no, that's just for the big name evangelist. Oh no, that's just for the big pastor. That's just for the full-time minister. That's not what this says. And I believe that if we're going to stay true to the scripture, we have to understand that signs can follow believers. In fact, turn over there to Mark. You're pretty close. You know it well, especially at this church. In Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 15, this is the Great Commission. We're talking about coming up. That's what we're talking about. And what does he say? He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he who believes in me and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. He didn't say just the pastors and the evangelists, right? Right? He said, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Signs follow believers. But what happens sometimes is believers just follow the signs. God's calling us to a higher relationship so that the signs come with us. The signs come with us so that when the opportunity comes, you minister that opportunity. You minister healing to people. Can I pray for you? Now, in 40 plus years, 45 years of knowing the Lord Jesus and growing up in church, one of the things that I have noticed is that if I offer prayer, most people are never going to refuse it. They're not. And do you know how odd it is these days for people to actually say that? Do you know what a stretch that is to a total stranger? Hey, can I pray for you? But if you will obey God in those still small moments, God can open up amazing miracles, amazing opportunities, if you just give him a little bit to work with. So he's calling us to come up in relationship. He's also calling us to come up in rest. We just read that in Matthew chapter 11 when he says, not only take my yoke upon you, but there's a rest in following him. Now, I've actually heard some believers say this and it got me so irritated. Well, I'm just resting. When I'm trying to get them to volunteer for something. Well, I'm taking a break. I'm resting. How long has that break been? I understand taking a vacation. I understand that rest is important. I understand if you need a break for a couple of months. I understand that. But I don't understand, well, I've been on a break for 5 years. I haven't quite understood that one. Well, I just don't feel led. That's when I want to carry around fishing weights in my pocket. Here, feel it. There's a need. We need to fill it. We're the body of Christ, right? So, yes, but God's kind of rest is not the way we define rest. God's rest is when we are connected so much with him that whatever he says do, we do. And there is a great joy that comes from that. Go to the next slide, please. So we're coming up to a relationship, deepening our relationship with him. The next one, rest. We take rest by faith. That kind of rest is not a ceasing of doing anything. It is a rest of faith. Praise the name of the Lord. And then I want you to go back to Revelation 4:1. Go to the next slide, please. Revelation. Revelation 4:1, in what he talks to John about, is he says, I want to show you things to come. I want to show you some things. Do you know the Holy Spirit is to lead and guide us into all truth and to show us the heart of the Father. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to you. The Holy Spirit will guide you in your life. If you read the rest of John chapter 14, he talks so much about the Holy Spirit. We're not going to go into it right now, but as we get a revelation of who he is, we begin to understand who we are. And when we understand who we are, then when the obstacles come or when the enemy throws a blockade in our way, we know what to do with it because we know who we are. We know who we are. There's an old story of a rabbi in St. Petersburg, Russia, who he would go for a walk every day. And one day he was harassed by some of the communist guards, and they said, "Who are you and where are you going?" He said, "I'll pay you every single day to ask me that question because I need to know the answer." We have a lot of people who don't know who they are and they don't know where they're going. There is a hell to shun. There is a heaven to gain. Now, when we are in this walk of faith and we're trying to come up to that higher level in God, the enemy, he likes to bring discouragement. Do the next slide, please. This is how we're going to wrap up. This is a famous painting by Moritz Rich. I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly. Perhaps you've seen it. Maybe you have. But it is a picture of a believer playing chess with the devil. It's called checkmate because if you'll notice in the picture, it's a little hard to see, but the devil thinks he's won. And the young man that's there has his despair on his face, and he thinks he's lost. And as I've been ministering on coming up to a different level in God, maybe there are times, maybe even today, where you've felt like this. Maybe you feel like my life's almost over. Maybe you feel like the enemy has given you a bad report in your health. Maybe it seems like there's no way to restore a particular relationship. And the enemy, he's gloating. Now, if you've ever played chess, there's a ton of different moves. It's a game. I'm not great at it, but I do enjoy playing it from time to time. And the young man looks like he's in despair. Because the devil is basically declaring checkmate. In fact, that's the name of the painting, checkmate. That somehow the devil has won. In the late 1800s, there was a professional chess player. In fact, he was the world champion. He came across this painting, and he studied it for a long time. This painting hung in the Louvre for many years as a masterpiece painting. And this chess champion was going through his life, and somebody said, you need to take a look at this picture, this painting. So he studied it. And as he studied it, he said, they're going to have to change the painting's name. And the friend who told him to look at it said, well, why? He said, well, you're either going to have to change the painting or you're going to have to change the name. He said, I'm a world champion chess player. The king has one more move. I think a lot of us, when the enemy attacks us or puts blockages in our way from coming up to a higher level in God, he likes to make us think that that's the end. The king has one more move. This world champion chess player actually recreated the chessboard, and he took the spot of the young man. And he won. Because the king had one more move. It was not checkmate. It was not over as the enemy had thought he declared. And for you, whatever you're dealing with, it's not over. It's not over. As long as there is breath in our lungs, it's not over. And even if we had to pass from this earth without the victory, we still have the victory. We still win. And he can gloat all he wants. But he doesn't know everything. And the king always has one more move. Amen. Thanks be to God. He always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. He always causes us to triumph. And when we put our faith in him and put our trust in him, it is in relationship that we come up to a higher level. It is in rest that we understand that there is a rhythm of rest, where he brings a refreshing power to us. For your offering, you referenced Psalm 23. Isn't God good that He leads us by the still waters? Isn't He good that He restores our soul when we need rest in our soul? Isn't it good that surely goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life? Isn't it good that when we take His yoke upon us, we learn His way of doing things and we quit doing it our way? That requires total abandonment. I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours. Now, how do we respond? Pastor Doug, how do we respond? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation is to know Him. To know Him in the power of His resurrection. To know Him in the power of the Holy Spirit. To receive all that He has for you. All that He has for you. Don't just step halfway. Come all the way. Come up so He shows you a different perspective. Praise God. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, hallelujah. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your word. Lord, I know that Your word goes forth and it does not return void. I've done my best, God, to encourage this congregation to go deeper in relationship with You, to receive the rest and the refreshing that You give, and God, to show every believer in this house that they are something in the kingdom of God that can be used by God. Amen. To give them a revelation of who they are in Christ, that they can stand up against the enemy. And they can know that You have one more move in their life. One more. There's always one more. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this place and you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you just to raise up your hand and let us know. Let us know, I need to receive Christ. Is there anybody at all you'd say, I need to be born again? Anybody at all, you need to have a relationship with God. If you were to die today, you do not know where you would go. Just raise up your hand so I can see it. Anybody at all? I'm just scanning the audience right now. Perhaps you're here and you need to recommit your life to God. You need to come up to a whole new level in relationship with Him by recommitting your life. You've been doing your own thing. You've been yoked up with some things that are derailing you. And this morning you'd say, you know what? I need to get rid of that. And I'm recommitting my life. Is there anybody in here who would say, I'm recommitting my life? I'm coming up to a higher level. If that's you, raise up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's just pray together right now. Father God, we come to You. We thank You for restoring, for renewing our relationship with You. Thank You, Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, You are faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we're coming up to a higher relationship with You, to have rest, to have revelation of who You are and who You are in us. We thank You, Lord, for bringing us up, causing us to go higher, to do the works of Jesus and even greater works by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you'd like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.